Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Turn in your Bibles to Revelations chapter 2. Abby and I were talking before service started today, and it was kind of funny because I had said, I don't care what you say, Abby, just don't say anything about Revelations 2 and returning to your first love. And she kind of went, well, that's what I was going to say. And so, you know, Abby and I had the same trip. No, we're gonna talk this morning about your first love, and you know, Abby hadn't been down there for 4 or 5 years. Josiah hadn't been down there for 4 or 5 years. I was just there last year at Gleanings for the Hungry, and Gary, how you doing, buddy? Oh my goodness, it is good to see you this morning. I could spot you in a crowd because you're wearing a suit. Welcome to Zillow. we wanted to talk about being in your first love, and the thing is that when you go down to Gleanings, it really is a place of love. Bethany, you've been there before, haven't you? Yeah, you came down there. Austin came down. It's a place of love, and it's a place where you go, and it's just like every time you go there, you've gone home. Every time you go through those gates, you've gone to a place you've been before. You've gone to a place where you feel totally comfortable. You feel totally at home. You feel at peace. And I was down there this week, and I was thinking all the time, what makes this different from us? What makes this different from, you know, having a bad day at work? What makes it, you know, because you have bad days at work down there. Let's be honest. Not every day down there is full of peaches and sunshine. Not every day down there is full of smiles and roses. You still have to, first of all, deal with people, which I think we all could agree, if it wasn't for people, all things would be fun. Even going to work would be fun if it wasn't for customers. Even if going to, you guys know what I'm saying? And so you still have to deal with people. My favorite kids down there are the kids who go off like a bottle rocket. They start working like a champ. They're pulling all the flats. They're laying them down in the field, and it's hard, nasty work. It's 85 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning. By 10 o'clock, it's 95 degrees. By 11 o'clock, it could be near 100. And these kids start off just like a bottle rocket. Just, you know, they're sweating and they're just throwing stuff on the ground, and it's a great work and it's great fun. But like right at that first break, they go in and they get a pretzel, and they come back out, and it's just, they don't have that same fire. And you're out there yelling at them, which is usually my job whenever we were out in the field. It was my job to yell at children and to make them work faster. And then we would do that, and then by the time we got all the fruit laid out, it's time to start cupping up. And it's that time where Josiah and Jerry and I were working in the pallets this year. And there's this one couple of girls. Like, normally you would say hourly, or I think it was minutely. These girls would walk all the way out to the thing, turn one peach, walk all the way back. Walk all the way back out. Walk all the way back. And I'm watching it, and I'm just like, it's cool. They just don't get it. It's cool. They're not going to work hard. Let's not push them, because all you're going to do is make them mad. And they weren't from our group, by the way. And I was just ignoring them. I was cool. I was just, whatever. Josiah was really not liking this. Really didn't appreciate it. And after about the fifth trip back, he says, hey, girls. Hey, come here for a second. And there, you know, they looked really tired. So they walked over. Yeah. He says, man, that peach work out there, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. You know what's even crazier? Staying out there for 5 minutes at a time. You should try it. That's all he said. You should try it. And those girls went like this. Walked all the way out to the field at a 45-degree angle watching Josiah. They got out there and they went like this. Stomp feet in the dirt, and Josiah's just like this the whole time. It was the best 5 minutes of my life right there, watching that. Finally, Josiah goes back to work, and those girls never came back the rest of the day. But you guys, it was awesome. And you know, the thing is when you get down there, it's a loving relationship. You have to get it, though. You have to get the love. You have to appreciate the love. You have to receive the love. And every time we go down there, it's like a new experience, but it's the same experience. It's the same place. It's the same love. It's the same people. I told the kids that I don't go down there for the work. I don't go down there for the opportunity to serve or for the mission or anything. Honestly, the biggest draw to me is the people that serve there. It's the hearts of the people that serve there. It's the mission of the people that serve there. It's not the peaches. I hate peaches. I can't stand peaches. Most of you guys know my aversion to fruit and the allergic reaction that I get whenever I see fruit. I can't stand it. And yet, for some reason, this place is just in my heart. And it's because of the hearts of the people. The hearts of the people down there live in a constant state of first love. They live in a constant state of first love. Every day for them is a miracle. We were down there working in the soup plant. I've never seen the soup plant run before. You would be so amazed to watch this operation. I've never seen this run before. But we got to the point where we needed carrots. We needed carrots. Now, Harley worked in there for a little while. Carrots are terrible. They're all like compressed in this cardboard box, and you actually have to take a pickaxe to loosen them up, and they get loaded up through a vacuum. And we were on literally our last box of carrots to make soup mix, and we were rocking and rolling. We go to break. In between break and us being back to work, a semi comes in. Nobody pays attention to it except for the people that work there. The guys that work there go and unload it, and the semi pulls away. And we went back to work, and I was thinking, well, that's kind of a chump deal. Because I thought it was a semi that just got loaded up, and I thought we missed out on an opportunity to pray for it. You guys, you know what I'm talking, you know, when they load up with all the food and everything, you lay your hands on it and pray for it. I mean, if you don't cry at that right there, you're cold-blooded. You're a reptile. But in between us going to break and us getting back to work, this semi showed up with a semi load of carrots. Okay? Part two of the craziness, they didn't know it was coming. They had no idea that that thing was showing up. You want to know what God does in a place like that? I said, James, 17-year-old kid. He's been down there. He's worked there several years. We've seen him several years. But his family just went on staff this last year. So he's down there full time. I said, James, that's crazy. He says, no, not really. It happens all the time. I mean, just, you know, you don't know where this stuff comes from. You get low, it shows up. You get low, you need beans, beans show up. You run out of peaches, all of a sudden, the warehouse down the road has 70 bins of peaches that need to go out the next day, and they're all for you. I mean, it's just, that's how it is. They live in a constant state of depending and living in faith, and faith and love. When you go there, it's such a place of worship. It's such a place of prayer. It's such a place of faith. They live in a constant state of being in their first love. It never gets stale to them. You see miracle after miracle after miracle. Do you think that Paul ever got tired? of casting out demons? You think he ever got tired of, oh, it's just another ho-hum demon. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I wish we could have some blind people show up today. You know what I'm saying, Ryan? I know. It's funny, Ryan. I was doing impressions of you the other day. It's like, what does a blind person sound like? He sounds like, well, I guess we're going to go up there. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to... And so I just... I did say that. I did. That's how we roll. But the thing is that these people live in such a constant state of faith. Do you ever get tired of living in faith? Do you ever get tired of seeing miracles? Paul never got tired. John never got tired. Jesus never got tired. Did Jesus ever see a leper that he wasn't like, I don't really think I'm going to heal you. Be gone, leper. Go away. I don't got time for this. I'm busy making 5,000 fish. You know, he never got tired of miracles. He never got tired of healing. It's a constant state of faith. In your first love, there's a state of faith and a state of energy and a state of dependence that is just amazing. The church in Ephesus was in a state of been there, done that. They'd been going for about 30 years, maybe even 60 by the time that this is written. And this church was in the hot spot. This church was in the worst spot. It was an awesome seaport. It was a place, I mean, you guys know what seaports are like, right? You go to Seattle, and there's Seattle where everybody likes to go, and then there's the port area of Seattle. It's the dirty spot. It's a place where all the lights are. It's a place where all the containers are. It's a place where all the sailors are. It's a place where things happen. But it's not a place where you go to feel good about yourself. You go just to praise the Lord out there on the docks, out there with the fishermen and the sailors and the other guys. I've never been there. But the point is, we did go. I was at the one in San Diego when a ship was coming in. That was funny to watch. Interesting sailors come off of ships. Things happen. Temptations. Port towns are known for the various temptations that they feel like they have to offer sailors. These guys just got off a boat for a year. They got to have something to do, don't they? And so businesses and opportunities spring up of temptation. Ephesus was also the place where Diana was worshipped, the goddess of fertility. And we won't talk about the ways in which she was worshipped, but let's just say it was not wholesome. They didn't even find it necessary to sacrifice a goat every now and then. They did other things to worship their goddess. The point is that there was so much temptation, so much idolatry, so much evil around them. And yet the church, through all of the good things that they did, they lost their first love. They lost the fire. They lost the faith. They lost the passion that you need, that you should want, that you should crave, that you should desire. They lost it. He says, I know your works. I know your labors. I know the patience. I know the evil which you can't tolerate. I know the ways in which you test the prophets and the apostles. I know these things. And these things are good. These things are what church people do, right? These things are what church people do. Church people do good works. Church people show up on Sunday. Church people show up on Wednesday. Church people show up when we have Bible study. Church people show up. They do things. They play on the worship team. They pray at the altar. They do things. That's what we do. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we're here for. Those are the works. He knows the labors, the special things. Those who have gone out of their way to go work at the food bank. They'll go on missions. They'll go on, do this, do that, the big things. He knows that we were good in the everyday. He knows that we're good in the big things, doing the service projects. He knows that we can do those things and that we do them faithfully. He knows that we have patience for waiting on the Lord, for waiting with other people, patience with others, patience with those around us. One thing I'm known for is patience and compassion. It's not a lie, it's sarcasm. It's a totally different thing. God says, I know of the evil that surrounds you and how you cannot tolerate it. The last verse in this section talks about how they particularly despise the Nicolaitans. I don't know if I said it right, but I didn't go to Bible college. I went through the MIP, which means you're going to have the same speech impediment. He says, I know that you have a particular hatred for these guys. You cannot stand them. You cannot be around them because they have perverted the gospel. Well, I'll tell you what, anybody who perverts the gospel, anybody who takes the gospel and switches it around, I have such a tough time with that. Anybody who takes it and twists it to their own little view, their own little way, it just kills you. It should. It should make a fire burn in your heart. It should make an anger burn in your heart. Not an anger towards that person, but towards the Spirit. Towards a spirit that has twisted and turned that gospel, that love of Christ. That's what it did for the people in Ephesus. Enough so that the Lord would take notice of it. That's good, right? It says that they tested the prophets and the apostles. God says, I know that you have been faithful in testing these people who come to preach to you. Just like the Bereans, Acts chapter 17. Paul goes and preaches to them. They didn't just say, okay, great, Paul, good job. They tested it against the word. They went to the word. They went and made sure that what Paul was telling them was right. Just like the people in Ephesus, they tested the apostles. They made sure that what the apostles said was correct according to the word and according to the fruit. In other words, when a prophet says, you're going to be an evangelist, you're going to be Billy Graham, if you turn out to be Billy Joe, they test the fruit. That was an extreme example, but you guys understand what I'm saying? They tested, they did everything that a church should do, and it was awesome, right? They had tons of converts, tons of people. They were really an awesome church. But they became a church. You ever notice how some of the things that we do can become form and function, but less life and faith? We show up, we do our thing, we go. That's the way we go. That's what we do. That's what we do with work. That's what we do sometimes with family. It's what we do sometimes with everything that surrounds us. It becomes that stuff. Paul says, God says that you guys in Ephesus, you guys have done everything right. You're not bad people. But 30 years earlier, in Paul's letter to them, he reminded them to strengthen the love that's in their hearts. Because he saw the anointing on the church. He saw the faith in the church. He saw the power in the church. But he knew that eventually those things can go flat. You can still do all of them, but you might not be all of them. So God says in Revelation chapter 2, you're doing everything that you know you should do. You're doing them well. But the one thing that's missing is the fire and the passion and that first love that you had for me. I looked at my life when I was down there at Gleanings. Like I said, it's like returning home. It's like going back home. It's like that first love. It's like that time when you first accepted the Lord. It's like that time when you first said, Jesus, come into my life, and you meant it with all your heart, and you transferred your faith from you to him. You didn't just say, Jesus, forgive me, but you put everything into his basket. I remember the 100 times that I said in high school, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, knowing that I was going to do the same thing tomorrow, hoping he didn't come before next Wednesday so that I could do it again. So I remember that, but I also remember more than anything the day that I prayed and transferred everything over. The real time in my life where I said, Jesus, I love you more than anything else. I remember the first time I spoke in tongues. I remember the first time when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was baptized. I remember those firsts, those bests, those initial contacts with him. I remember the first time that I went to Gleanings for the Hungry. I remember the first time, the first time, the first time. Some of us need to shatter. Shatter all those things that we've stacked on top of the first time. It's not just when you first came to the Lord. That's one thing I've come to realize in this right here. When God says, remember your first love, go back to your first love. For some of us, we remember salvation better than we remember the other things. Maybe it's because you're stuck in a cycle of sin. And you know that God keeps forgiving you. And so the grace experience is stronger than anything else in your life. And it's easy for you to remember. But what about the first time he healed you? I remember being healed in high school. Every time I get sick, God healed my shoulder. Miraculous. Separated shoulder in football. I had a doctor's appointment Monday. Sunday, my mom embarrassed me so bad. Stood up right after worship. Oh, Pastor. She cried about everything. Oh, Pastor. My son, his shoulder, it's broken. Can we pray for healing? And I'm just like, oh, Mother. Oh, if I could get under my seat, I would have. Anything to hide from right there. And the pastor, Pastor Dan. Oh, yeah, let's pray for him. Oh, great, Pastor Dan. That's not what I wanted. They prayed for me, and it was healed. I went to the doctor the next day. Nothing. Didn't even wear a sling or a brace or anything. Healed. I remember that every time. I remember every time I was healed. And you know what? When I get sick, I don't cry or despair about it. Sometimes I wait too long, you know, because I pray and I say, God's going to heal my leg. God's going to heal my leg. God's going to heal my leg. Well, last time he didn't. And I waited until the infection got to right there, and I apparently was a couple days from dying. It happens. But I have so much, I trust the Lord. That part is strong there. But we need to shake off the dust, crack the molds that have surrounded those first loves. We need to live a life of passion, a life of desire for the Lord. This morning as we were worshiping, it absolutely killed me. Because I had to sit in the back and do the stinking projector. And these guys were rocking up here. Now I know that there's probably some old people here today. You guys don't have Bible study again for like 2 weeks, so you won't hear about this for like a week and a half. Who said it was too loud? But didn't your parents say the same thing about the Beatles? Didn't your parents say the same thing about Elvis? Sinful. Just dirty Elvis. Didn't they? And yet when Let It Be comes on the radio, who's turning it up? That guy. I'm just saying. When these guys were going this morning, I was rocking. I was in the back. You know what? You know what? When it came to me, is when this really became real, is the worship team that was up here, with the exception of Josiah being missing, it was kind of one of my first loves, because the worship team that we had up here was really one of my favorite worship teams. I always loved Abby and Cassie singing together. I did. It was one of my favorite teams when we had those guys. And it brought me back to the spirit and to the worship that we had when those guys were all singing together, when those guys were all playing together, when those guys were all rocking together. I didn't know that you could play bass like that, Emily Lou. I could hear you just boom, 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 boom. She didn't move at all. She looked like the guy from Led Zeppelin, where you got like Jimmy Page just rocking all over the stage, Robert Plant flying all over the place, and John Paul Jones in the back going. But it brought me back to that love. I remembered that worship, and I remembered I hated not being right there. That's my spot on Wednesday nights. That's where I stand right there. And it just, whenever I hear that sound and I feel that spirit, I mean, it makes me want to jump and shout. And it brought me back to that first love of worship. Not everybody's style, but it should have been everybody's spirit, because that was real. Now, to finish up. The church left their first love. It's not just that first love is a mark in your life, a memory in your life. One of the things that I've appreciated about the first love is it represents an innocence. Before you or someone around you twisted and changed the meaning of what God was doing in your life. Do you hear me, church? So often we get stories of how the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues to be a Christian. You have to. It's what all the good Pentecostal churches do. It's what all the good Pentecostal people do. They speak in tongues. And when the pastor comes near and just the shadow of him, they are slain in the spirit. Hallelujah. The presence of God is so strong. That's how you know you're real church of God, is when you can finish every sentence with God. I'm telling you guys. I'm telling you guys. But there's an innocence in your walk. When your first love is there, there's an innocence there. I believe it. I see it. There's nothing that can shake me from it. I've got to have that in my life. And there's nothing there other than God. There's nobody telling you that you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues to go to heaven. There's nobody telling you that you have to go to a foreign country to do a mission trip, to really see poor people, to love people. One of the statements that absolutely killed me at this trip was the fact that one of the guys that works there and lives there, was just hammering us. I have no other way to describe this. But hammering us for being Americans. This guy's American. He's not one of the Swiss guys or Canadians, eh? They got a lot of Canadians that come down there and work, even the guys who run it, eh? They are from Canada, and they love the Canuck area, and they come from a lot of British Columbia. They have a lot of people there from Switzerland. Is it Switzerland? Swiss? Is it the same thing?
I think so.
They're very neutral when they get there. If there's an argument, they always go the middle route. Fritz, I love Fritz. He wrote a poem about peaches. I tried to download it again this morning, but apparently Gleanings for the Hungry is one of our blocked websites. Who knew? They are dangerous for the minds of the young people. I don't know. I threw that in there just because I couldn't believe it. thank you, Jeremy. But I tried to download the poem, and it was this poem that he wrote about peaches and his love for peaches. And Coach and I, one of the guys down there, we requested for him to do his peach sermon again. You guys remember? He pulls out this peach. He goes, "Oh, I love the peach. The peach, it's beautiful. It's like our life in Christ. It's a beautiful thing, the peach. But then sometimes you look at the outside and it's rotten and it's gore. You can't eat it. But then you take a bite." Every time he does it, doesn't he? Just slobbers all over that piece. And you look at the inside and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. That's how God sees us. Come on now. Just bring it down, all right? Please, please understand that being American is not bad. I love being American. I don't want to be Canadian. I don't want to be Colombian or Swiss. I like being American. I like being a Yakimanian. I love who I am. And this guy was up there and he was talking out of the innocence of his experience. He just left his job, his home, took his 5 kids, and moved them down to Gleanings for the Hungry. They just went to Africa and distributed fruit and gave away peaches and gave away soup. He saw people that were poor, people that were hungry, people that were starving. Firsthand, touched them. Sat in the AIDS. If you've ever been to South Africa, you will know this. It is the greatest concentration of AIDS infection in the world. It is insane what you would see down there compared to what we have here. And he went down there and he shared with those people, touched those people, loved those people. And I respect that with all my heart. If God calls me to do a trip like that, I will obey, obey, obey. I will not ask twice. I know that God will provide. I know that God will make a way. I will do it. But he hasn't called me just yet. And that's why I'm saying this right here. He came back. He is called. He has a purpose. He lives at Gleanings now. Works full-time there, supported by himself and other people. He got up there to speak one day, and he talked about the American way of life. Now, by all means, guys, we are blessed in this country. I have no doubt about that. I have no argument with that. I'm not rich, but I know that what I have is 10 times more, 100 times more than what some people have around the world. And if I could take blame for being born in America, I would. But I can't be blamed that my parents lived in Kansas when I was born. I can't feel ashamed about the fact that I moved to Washington. I can't be ashamed about the fact that I have a job. You see, what I'm getting at is that a lot of missionaries, they want you to feel the hunger and the pain that's around the world. But sometimes they've taken that calling, that purpose, that first love, and turned it just a little bit to where everyone else who hasn't followed the same calling isn't doing the will of God. Guess what? I feel perfectly at peace living in White Swan. I feel perfectly at peace going down and getting a sweet tea from McDonald's every once in a while. I don't feel bad about it. I feel blessed. I know that God provides for me. I thank Him every day for what He's put in my life. But I'm not ashamed about it, because I know this is where God wants me. See, what I'm saying is that the innocence that He has, that He felt, that is really, truly what's awesome. Now, He spoke it wrong. He delivered the message wrong, that we should not be ashamed. We should be concerned for the things around us. We should have a heart of compassion for the things around us. But we shouldn't be ashamed of who we are as Americans. We should feel blessed. That's the truth of the matter. But He spoke from a heart full of being in God's presence. And that's what I appreciated about it. He spoke from a heart that was just really feeling that presence of Christ daily, because he had to depend on everything from Christ. And so that innocence and everything was right there. Do you know how long it's been sometimes in our lives where we go back to that innocent spot? We go back to that spot where we depend on the Lord. We have everything. We know that He's providing. We know that He's giving. We know that He is our sustenance. We know that He is our everything. What an awesome place to be, the innocence of faith. Ephesus was no longer there. Ephesus was out of a place of innocence and in a place of complacency, knowing that they're Christians, knowing that they're blessed and happy with that. It's all good, Lord. It's all good, Lord. I was there. I did this. I did that. I checked off everything on my list this week. I did everything that I know that I'm supposed to do. But when you got that innocent fire about you, isn't there just no way that you can be satisfied? It's like there's always that more, 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 Lord. These guys worshiped every single day that we were there. I got to tell you guys, I loved it. I loved waking up at the crack of 8 o'clock, first of all. That was awesome. I usually get up at, you know, somewhere between 4:30 and 5:30 for work every day. I loved getting up at 7:45. That was awesome. First of all, that was a great blessing. Then, as soon as you get up and you put on your dirty clothes, I did every day, wore dirty clothes, didn't care. You put on your dirty clothes, you walk into worship. And not just worship, but man, these guys were rocking. We had our team do it one day. We had our team do it another day. We had a heavy metal. Okay, I wasn't sure about that one. That one was a little bit different. You think we're loud. This one right up here was crazy. But the thing is that every day you walk into this faith-filled lifestyle. Every day you walk into this place that is dependent on the Lord and dependent on worship and prayer. And there's so much love surrounding this innocence. And so that's why it feels like the first time, every time you walk in there. It's so different from who we are as Christians. Every day, it's not a checklist. Every day, it's a love list. They want to worship. They want to gather. It doesn't matter how bad the musicians are. It doesn't matter how out of tune the singers are. I know Zoe can't sing, but she was worshiping. That's what matters. That sounds harsh, but you guys didn't hear it. It was awesome. No, I'm just joking. It really wasn't that bad. I heard him in practice. It was interesting. But I want you guys to see this right here. And you have persevered, have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. As a church, they had to repent. As a person, they had to repent. As a church, I love our church. I love the people. I love you. The only thing I would say is this right here. Some of us have been doing the same things for so long. If I say anything at all that crosses the bounds, stand up and yell. Some of us have been doing the same things for so long that we forgot why we did them. We forgot who we did them for. We forgot the love of Christ and the passion for service that we had when we first signed up. God says to the church in Ephesus, repent. He didn't say, Joe, you need to repent. He said, church, repent. Is it a repentance from sin? At any point, is he calling out in this right here to sinners? He's not calling out to sinners right here. He's calling out to the lovers. Those who love the faith. Those who love the Spirit. Love the movement of God in their midst. I was so proud as you guys were worshiping this morning. And I saw just random people coming up. And I know we get it every Sunday. I know we get it every Sunday. But it just, it's such a blessing. I watched Kevin. Kevin was right here the whole time. And I could just see you worshiping and just wanting more from the Lord. But it's that passion. It's that desire. It's that hunger. It's that joy that we should have and live and function in. When he says repent, he doesn't say get on your knees and ask for forgiveness. He says go back to go. Go back to the beginning. Go back to where you had that love and that desire and that hunger for me. When we leave today, we need to remember what he said to these guys. He said, repent therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. The Spirit of the Lord, the love of the Lord, faith in what he is and who he's changing. And being one of those people who are willing to give up everything and anything that the Lord calls out of your life or into your life. Being able to be flexible. Marlene always says, blessed are the flexible. Emily, you were flexible this morning. When you agreed to play bass, I know you probably didn't want to, but you did it, and you were awesome. Blessed are those who are flexible. I don't think that's in the Bible, but it's a good Marlenianism. Return to the love that says, God, I'm gonna do anything. That crazy love, that crazy preaching from the rooftops love. that crazy play in Foursquare because we had carpet? Who knew that playing Foursquare would entertain 50 people at one time? Granted, they're teenagers and they're gullible. They'll do anything you tell them to do as long as you say it with a smile. But they loved the Foursquare. It was awesome. Foursquare is a game made for 3-year-olds, 6-year-olds. You don't see a Foursquare thing in a middle school. You see it in the primary school where the little ones are. But it's amazing what happens when you put something like that out there. 50 kids lined up all the way to the double doors. Why? Because it's fun. So is serving the Lord. When you're living in that first love, it's fun. There's nothing more that you can say about your relationship with the Lord than it's fun. I love serving Him. I love walking in Him. Because it's fun. There's peace. There's joy. There's everything that He's promised you right there. Church, return to the first love. Return to the why and the love and the passion that He gave you. Amen? Marcus, you want to come up? Let's stand. I really, honestly, kicked around having the whole worship team come up and just rocking your way out the door. I haven't got to the point of saying yes on that yet. But I want to. One of the things that I wanted to finish up with as we stand. Some of us are called. Some of us know the purpose God has for us. Living in the purpose God has for us. Some of us need to be reminded of that purpose. Some of us need to be refired in that purpose. Refined in that purpose. When He talked to Ephesus, He talked to him out of love. He talked to him out of compassion. But He said, if you don't refocus, if you don't repent, I'm taking that away. I'm taking that lampstand. I'm taking that spirit away. This morning, if you know that purpose that God has for you, but you haven't walked in it, maybe even walked away from it. I want to encourage you to repent. You know what God has put on your heart. You know what God has called you to do. You know the purpose. But because of everything that has gone on around you or whatever reasons or excuses we might have, you lost that first love. You lost that fire. You lost that passion, that desire to serve Him where He had you. I want to encourage you to renew that purpose. Renew that passion. Renew that fire. How do you do that? I don't want you to leave without knowing the how. John writes that you repent. You say, God, I need to turn around from where I'm heading and I need to refocus on You, God. God, forgive me of my choices, my desires, the things that have led me away from Your calling. And replace in me that fire and that passion that You put there. Let me walk this, Lord, in Your spirit, in Your hands. leave today, if that's your heart, pray that prayer. Don't just walk out of here saying, I'll pray it next week. Walk out of here saying, Lord, I prayed that prayer today. Put that fire back in my heart. Put that desire, that passion back in my heart. As we do this, as you do this, it's amazing what happens. It's amazing the presence of the Lord when the Holy Spirit falls on united people. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you this morning. Your grace, your mercy, those things that I experienced when I became a Christian, those things that I've received into my heart for real, God. When I finally gave you everything, Lord, I remember those things. God, I remember the passion and the desire and the hunger that I had for you. God, I just pray right now that you would allow me to get through all the other things that I've stacked on top of that, to throw them away, God, to shatter the molds, to shatter the rocks, to shatter the layers of dust, God, and to return to that first love, Lord. God, let me personally be hungry for your presence, hungry for your spirit, God. Let me personally want to be back at that place, Lord, where I knew where I was doing, what I was doing, how I was doing it, God, was right in you, Lord. And I pray for your anointing to fall on me. I pray for your anointing to fall on all of us today, God. As we refocus, repent, and redirect our lives through you, God. We thank you, Lord. We pray you bless us as we go. In your name, amen. Evening service tonight. Be blessed. Gym class. We're going to do this 6 o'clock, Jason's house. I don't think there's any other youth group announcements, so everybody else, God bless you. Go home.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.